Guided by his example, we walk the righteous path. In the footsteps of the prophet with faith and steadfast. In the footsteps of the prophet with faith and steadfast.
الحمد لله رب العالمين الصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. My dear viewers of Madani Channel, welcome back to another episode of In the Footsteps of the Prophet صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وسلم. الحمد لله عز وجل. In this episode, or in this series, we study here about the life, the biography of the greatest of all mankind, the peace of our hearts and our minds, the most generous and kind, the last and final prophet and messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Yes, in the footsteps of the beloved prophet, we must attempt to emulate, learn about the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the characteristics, the mannerism, the actions, the qualities of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then attempt to try and follow in the footsteps of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the greatest of all role models. We listen and hear about many biographies, but alhamdulillah, we are blessed to be hearing about the biography of the greatest of all people, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We always begin listening to a virtue and sending salawats upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated, من صلى علي صلاة واحدة صلى الله عليه عشرة, that he who recites salat upon Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam one single time, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestows 10 blessings upon that person. Mashallahu azza wa jal. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Mashallahu azza wa jal. Previously we've heard a little about the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how he had lost his father even before he was born. Sayyidina Abdullah radhiyallahu anhu, we spoke about in the previous episode that his beloved mother, the most beloved to a person, you see, generally in life, generally the most beloved person is a person's mother. Allahu Akbar. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at the tender age of 6, he had lost his beloved mother, radhiallahu anha. What was the name of the mother? I hope you have learnt it by now. If you have not, pay close attention. The name was Amina. Sayyidatuna Amina, radhiallahu ta'ala anha, had passed away when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was only at the age of 6. And my dear viewers of Madinah, remember that all the entire lineage, the parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, great-great-grandparents, and it continuously up until Sayyidina Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated that I continue to transfer from the backs of the pure, the tahirin males, to the arham, to the wombs of the tahirat. So the entire lineage is tahir, is completely pure, and it is the mu'minun, it is the believers, it is the Muslims who are considered tahir in its true sense. Mashallah azza wa jal. My dear viewers of Madani Channel, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his entire lineage was pure. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was of the greatest lineage. So his mother had passed away, and inshallah today we shall be hearing more. The beloved mother of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had passed away when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very, very young. And who took care of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after? Care was then given to the grandfather. He had the next right. This, the grandfather had the next right over Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was taken. He was in the care of his grandfather. He was nursed by Sayyidatuna Ummu Ayman radhiyallahu ta'ala anha, the one who took care of him. Yes, that same Ummu Ayman radhiyallahu ta'ala anha who traveled with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the mother to Yathrib at the time, later known as Al-Madinatul Munawwara. And on the way back, when the mother had passed away at the place known as Abwa, just outside of Al-Madinatul Munawwara, it was Sayyidatuna Ummu Ayman radhiyallahu anha who was with him at that time too. Always Sayyidatuna Ummu Ayman radhiyallahu anha would take care of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And after the apparent demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sayyidatuna Ummu Ayman radhiyallahu ta'ala anha would continue as the motherly figure that is. Yes, he was under the care of his grandfather Abdul Muttalib, but the motherly love, you know, the care that a mother can provide, which could only be given by that female figure, this was provided by Sayyidatuna Ummu Ayman radhiyallahu ta'ala anha, about whom Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would say to her, "Anti ummi ba'da ummi." He would say that you are my mother after my mother. The one is the mother, Allahu Akbar, yes? Mother, you know, nobody could take the place of the mother. But then he would say to her, "You too are a mother to me. Anti ummi ba'da ummi." You are my mother after my mother, you are my mother. And up until the age of, after the age of six, his brother, the Blessed Mother, passed away. And then he was in the care of his grandfather for only 2 years. It's for only 2 years. And one such incident which took place was, and it said, remember at this time, Sayyidina Abdul Muttalib radhiyallahu ta'ala anhu, the grandfather of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was now at this time the head. The head of the Quraysh. He was the leading figure. Yes, as he was before that too. And Sayyidina Abdul Muttalib radhiyallahu ta'ala anhu, it said that he would have done like, you have the leader has his own throne. So his sort of throne was against the Ka'bat al-Musharrafa. Yes, his throne was right against the Ka'bat al-Musharrafa. And there was a general rule that nobody can sit on the throne of Sayyidina Abdul Muttalib. Straight, you know, nobody could sit on the throne of any king. Yes, it is disrespectful to that person. And similarly, nobody could sit on the throne, on the chair, or on the bedstead, yes, of Abdul Muttalib radhiyallahu ta'ala anhu. And it said that Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was a child, 6-year-old. He would always sit on that. And when anybody would try to tell him off and say, "No, move from there," Sayyidina Abdul Muttalib would say, "No, him you leave." Allahu Akbar. He would allow, and he developed this closeness. He always was, no doubt, but it is extra love for Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, and he would care for him just as a father would. And it is stated that there was a time where once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he went missing. Nobody could find Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he became very, very worried. He was ready to give anything and everything to go in search for Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. In fact, once there was a camel which went missing, and people went searching for that camel, but nobody could go and find it. And it was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that brought that back to Sayyidina Abdul Muttalib radhiyallahu ta'ala anhu, and he was amazed, you know, he was such a young child. But this young child was so intellectual, so intelligent. He was very, very mature. So Sayyidina Abdul Muttalib radhiyallahu anhu, he had seen these things within Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was at the age of 8, only 2 years, and then Sayyidina Abdul Muttalib radhiyallahu anhu himself had also passed away. His own age was 120 years, according to many, but some would say he reached the age of 140 years when he passed away, Sayyidina Abdul Muttalib radhiyallahu ta'ala anhu. So now, the Prophet has lost his father, he has lost his mother, and now he has lost his grandfather too, at the age of 8. So who was to take care of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And the next person to take care of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was Abu Talib. Now Abu Talib, Allahu Akbar, he loved Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam so much. Yes, he loved Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam so much. It's stated that Ibn Asakir mentions that once there was a drought. Yes, there was once a drought, and the Quraysh, they came to Abu Talib. And they said to Abu Talib, they said, "Oh Abu Talib, the valley has dried up and people are in hardship." They said to Abu Talib, "Oh Abu Talib, come and pray for rain. Come and do dua for rain." And then Abu Talib, he comes out, but he doesn't come out alone. He comes out with a young boy. And he said that this young boy, he looked like the sun. Allahu Akbar, shining through the sky. And Sayyidina Abu Talib radiallahu anhu, he took hold of this boy, and he took this boy with him. Who was this boy? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the young boy. And he presses the back of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam against the wall of the Kaaba al-Musharrafa. So he takes him to the Kaaba, and he held on to this boy. And it said that at that time there was not a single cloud in the sky. And then they do dua, and then they ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes? And what happened is immediately at that time there was not one single cloud in the sky, but then upon having done dua, immediately out of nowhere as you would say, so many different clouds began to appear. So much so that the sky was filled with clouds. Allahu Akbar. And then rain began to come and shower amongst the people of Makkah al-Mukarramah, filling the valley and reviving the lands and helping and aiding the people. So this was one small miracle of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam at such a young age, when he was with Abu Talib, his uncle, his beloved uncle. And Abu Talib took care of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam for many years. But even during that time, Abu Talib too became protective over Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he was not able to separate himself from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said that Abu Talib needed to go. He was a businessman, as were the rest, and Abu Talib needed to travel to Syria. When Abu Talib, he decides he needs to travel to Syria, so what does he do? He has the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He has other children too. Yes, he has other children too, but the other children he does not take with him, and he takes with him Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wa ala alihi wasallam. So Abu Talib, he decides, no, I cannot leave him here, I'm going to take him with me. And this is where we have the beautiful and famous even story of Bahira the monk. What is the story? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wa ala wasallam, he travels with his uncle Abu Talib. And at this point, it stated that he was approximately the age of 12. And what happened is they were traveling to Greater Syria. They were traveling to Sham, and this is where they would go. The place they would reach is Busra. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a young boy of 12 with his uncle Abu Talib, they come here. And what happens is on the way, they are there or just outside, but within Syria itself, there was a monk by the name of Bahira the monk. Bahira would spend all of his time in his cell. He had a small room, if you wish, and he would spend all of his time in the room. He was knowledgeable in the Christian scripture. He was knowledgeable. He was from the followers of Sayyidina Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, some of the true followers of Sayyidina Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, and he would receive he even had the book, yes, and he would regularly read it, and he was a scholar of the scripture, that is. His real name, some state, like in the Sharh al-Mawahib al-Ladunya, it mentions that his name was Jarjis. This was his real name. Bahira, his name was Jarjis. What happened is he would stay to himself. He wouldn't come out and spend time with the people, or barely would he speak to the people. But this time when he saw this caravan coming, there was something different about this caravan. Something strange about this caravan. He recognized the characteristics that, you know, this is different. That here within this, one of the hadiths mentioned that Bahira says that within this caravan is the master of both worlds. The one who is sent as a mercy to the worlds. He was even asked, how do you know this? And he says about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that when he appeared, he says, every stone and tree had prostrated before Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they would only prostrate before a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. So this is one of the things that he had seen. He had seen that stones and trees, and remember, think about it. If they were to prostrate, everybody would be able to see them. But these are some things where some people are given the knowledge of the unseen. Stones and trees are prostrating. This is only for some to be able to see, for some to be able to recognize. And he sees that there's a cloud over the head giving shade to this caravan. You know, there must be something very, very special about this caravan. So what does he do? He does something which is unprecedented. He invites them all to come and have food. He calls upon all the people and says, come and have food. He invites them all. Now the people, when they hear this, they are amazed. They say, there must be something extraordinary which has happened today. They say to Bahira, never before, many a time we have traveled here, never before have you ever come and invited us to have some food. But today you've come and invited us, there must be something extraordinary, something special about this. And Bahira says, yes, there is something special. Come and eat. Come and join me for some food. He arranges for food to be prepared and he invites them all to join him and to come and eat some food. What happens? They all come, they're sitting at the table, and Bahira is studying them one by one. One after the other, he's studying every single one of them. He thinks to himself, the signs are so outside. And now I'm studying the person, the people in front of me. I don't see what I'm looking for. Why? Because stones and trees will only prostrate before a prophet. That means the final prophet, the one about whom we have been told within our scripture. He must be amongst these, but I have read the qualities, the characteristics which are mentioned within the scripture. I do not see those within any of these people. Allahu Akbar. I don't see them. So no, there must be something wrong here. He asks him, he says, your caravan, was there anybody else too? Or was it only you guys? He said, this is everyone. He said, no, there has to be another person. You're missing somebody. Tell me, who is it that we are missing? What is it that we have missed? Tell us. And they say, oh, there actually was one person. So they say, there actually was another person. But he's a young boy though. And we had him to go look after our luggage, to look after our things. And Bahira says, no. Go and invite that young boy too. Yes, go and invite that young boy too. He found that that young boy was sitting under a tree. And it said, Bahira states, no boy sits under that tree except who is a prophet. Allahu Akbar. Wallahu subhanahu wa ta'ala alam. Maybe some other prophet had sat there too. Allahu alam. This is what he says. Or maybe that was, he was told that only a prophet will come and sit under that particular tree. Wallahu subhanahu wa ta'ala alam. But what happens? That boy comes. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He comes before them and then he begins to speak to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. First he looks at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he studies the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he finds that yes, there's this characteristic, there's this one. But then he asks Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam a question. He says to him, by Allah and Al-Uzza, please answer these questions of mine. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he replies, he says, do not ask me by Allah and Al-Uzza, for I swear by Allah that there is nobody or nothing I possess hatred towards more than Allah and Al-Uzza. Allahu Akbar. So this was a test from him. Let's see, let's ask him about Allah and Allah Azza. How will he reply? And the Prophet passed the test. No. Do not ask me about Allah and Allah Azza. And there's nothing I hate more than Allah and Allah Azza. Allahu Akbar. So then he says, okay, I ask you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he says, ask me whatever you wish, I will tell you. By Allah, I will tell you. And then he asks him a few questions. And he sees that all of the questions that the Prophet has answered are in accordance with the things which have been told within the true scripture. Remember, the Old Testament, New Testament, etc., that those given to Sayyidina Musa, Sayyidina Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam, Sayyidina Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, those scriptures which were given, we believe in those too. Yes? But over time, they were changed by the people. Yes? But some people were able to maintain some of the true scriptures, which are not available to us in this day and age. But they were available to them. And they saw these characteristics. And then what does he do? He turns to Abu Talib. And he says to Abu Talib, he says, how are you related to this boy? Abu Talib says, I am his father. He says, no, you cannot be his father, for his father cannot be alive in this moment in time. Again, another sign he's aware of. And then Abu Talib says, yes, because you see, he was able to say he's a father, because an uncle sometimes also comes under the attribute of being a father. So Abu Talib saying he's a father is not wrong, because an uncle is also a father to a child. And many a time, it's even mentioned within the Quran about Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, his father, which is actually referring to his uncle. Yes, so the word Ab, the word father, is also used for the uncle. And so he says, you know, I'm his father. Same thing, I'm the one who's looking after him. I'm the one who's taking care of him. I'm the one who's providing for him. I'm his father. But Bahira, he takes this literally and says, no, you cannot be his biological father, for his father cannot be alive today. And Abu Talib says, yes, I'm not his real father, I am his uncle. And then he tells him that his father had passed away even before he was born. All of the signs he has seen. All of the signs. And this one final sign. He asks to see the back of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And between the shoulder blades of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he sees that there is the sign of prophethood between his shoulders. And then he says to Abu Talib, he says that this is a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but all the prophets have been sent since Sayyidina Ishaq alayhi salatu wasalam. They've been sent to the children of Sayyidina Ishaq alayhi salatu wasalam. And I fear that if other people are to identify him, then they would attempt to harm him. So go back to Mecca immediately, quickly go back to Makkah al-Mukarramah. And so Abu Talib, he takes the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam back to Makkah al-Mukarramah, and Ibn Hisham states that there were other people who also had identified the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but Bahira had stopped them. They wished to go and capture the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but Bahira had stopped them and told them, look, these are the signs in the scripture, they're all there. He's a true prophet, you would not be able to catch him. And he stopped them from going and bringing harm to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Now, dear viewers of Madani Channel, the program has again come to an end. Allahu Akbar, we heard a little story about the life of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam. This was when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was at the age of 12. He traveled to Syria and he experienced this, and he met Bahira, the monk who had identified him as the last and final prophet and messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and had believed in him, of course. And there's all of these signs of his being a prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam. My dear viewers of Madinah, inshallah, that's all for today. In the footsteps of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, please do join us next time for more on the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Try to write it down, inshallah azza wa jal, as much as you can, so that you can remember. And try to remember, especially Bahira, try to remember the story. Teach your children, tell your children the story, inshallah azza wa jal, so that they may and we may increase our love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You are watching in the footsteps of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Join us next time for more on the biography of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wasallam.
Guided by his example, we walk the righteous path. In the footsteps of the Prophet with faith and steadfast. In the footsteps of the Prophet with faith and steadfast.